This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah was salatu was salamu ala rasulillah. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallam. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Our dear and honored respected ulama and imam, our dear and honored respected elders, our beloved fathers and our respected mothers, our beloved brothers and sisters in Islam and our innocent children, I greet you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All thanks and praises be unto Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We turn unto Allah in eternal gratitude and praise. We pray and entreat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who follow the example of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in being grateful and being a thankful slave of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The system of Allah ta'ala in life is that when we are grateful, Allah gives us more. And on the flip side, if we ignore Allah's favors, if we disregard His ni'am, Allah removes them. And our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is famously recorded to characterize himself by saying, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I then not be a thankful slave of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? Love and salams upon his noble family, his companions and friends, and all those who follow him until the final hour. And we pray that Allah Ta'ala inspire our hearts towards that. Says Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the Holy Quran, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا طَائِرٍ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحِهِ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ ما فرطنا في الكتاب من شيء ثم إلى ربهم يحشرون والذين كذبوا بآياتنا صم وبكم في الظلمات من يشأ الله يضلله ومن يشأ يجعله على صراط مستقيم صدق الله مولانا العلي العظيم. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the Holy Quran reminds us that He had created all human beings and all communities of living beings in communities. Allah says there isn't a single animal that may traverse the earth or a being that flies the sky, except that they are all in communities like you are in communities. أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And we have not neglected to mention of anything in this kitab. ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ يُحْشَرُونَ. And then ultimately the final resurrection and return is unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who defy and reject Allah's signs, the signs of ours, says Allah, summun wa bukmun fi dhulumat. They are dumb, they are deaf, and they are dumb in darkness. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, Allah shall leave him to his misguidance. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, Allah shall place him on a straight path. Our beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, human beings, when we're talking about Hajj, then Hajj in itself is for us yet but another means and a ways through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to understand and come closer in our understanding and realize what the manifestation of life on this earth for human beings are. And of the manifestations of life for human beings on this earth is that we are meant to be together. Is there anything that is as powerful? Are there many things, perchance, that can be more powerful in its expression than that expression of the unity of the ummah of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on Hajj and through Hajj? Hajj on its own, when we look at the word itself, it means to have an intention. It means to make an intention, and more particularly intention to travel, to go on a journey. That's why it's called a pilgrimage. Pilgrimage does have its added connotations also. And this is something which, through times immemorial, historically, human beings have always embarked on pilgrimages to try and seek and to attain spiritual rebirth, spiritual renewal. And so in Islam, the Hajj in itself, this pilgrimage from our Quran and the Sunnah, is this special pilgrimage of which the intention is Al-Ka'bah, Baytullah. And like those before us, we want to gain this spiritual rebirth, we want to gain this spiritual renewal, which is a deeply, deeply intimate and personal affair, isn't it? No one else can give me spiritual rebirth. It's a very, very personal affair. And therefore my intention is Rabbul Ka'bah, the Lord of the Kaaba, in order for me and for us to attain to some closeness of that particular objective. And so, like the birds have this innate desire to migrate in flocks to different destinations, depending on the season, and they are innately, without we understanding how, attracted to certain destinations. So we also have this inner desire to make this migration and this pilgrimage to that holy, holy site. And so the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to come to this understanding and appreciation of the unity of humankind, which is so central to our understanding and a manifestation as human beings in Islam. And this social exchange and the social relations and interaction for us as Muslims at the Cape even take on some even more special dimensions, isn't it? Because for the Cape, the main question is what it means to socialize. Because we bring that socialization right into our spiritual and to our religious identities in the most admirable and remarkable innovative ways. So these are beautiful innovations. The bid'ah, which is hasana, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, Imam Abu Hanifa, would call bid'atu hasana. And so all of that starts even before we embark on this journey. And what are these things that we do but expressions of love, expressions of compassion for one another, respect? I respect my brother when I go and visit him because he informed us. It's out of respect that I go there to go and pay him a visit and to go and greet him. It's out of my kindness of my heart that I'm trying to nurture and foster to go and visit my brother who is going on this sacred journey. So all these cultural practices are fused and infused and founded and based upon those important Islamic values. But all of it is about this social interaction with one another. And so when we arrive there, we arrive in the sacred precincts in the Haram of Mecca, and we go past the Miqat, and we arrive, and we see this ocean of human beings, and we once again become infused with this United Nations notion that we are all one, we are all equal, we are all brothers, we all have the same ambitions, objectives, to come closer unto Allah and to renew ourselves spiritually. And so we reinforce the words of the Prophet ﷺ in our minds when he says, no, there's no superiority for this nation over that nation. There's no superiority for this color over that color. It's all about the equality of man. And that is a supreme expression of humility. You cannot confirm the equality of human beings if there is an odor of kibr in your heart. It's impossible. If you believe that you're somehow better than others, you cannot subscribe to the equality of human beings. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to, through this journey, achieve the objectives that Allah ta'ala states in the Holy Quran are the specific objectives for such journeys and pilgrimages. Journeys, generally, pilgrimage specifically. Allah says in Surah Al-Hajj, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونُ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. Don't they travel into the earth like the birds travel? They migrate from one part of the dunya to another part of the dunya. Don't they travel through the earth, says Allah, so that they may gain hearts with which they can understand, so that they can gain understanding and development in their thinking through their hearts. فَتَكُونُ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. So that they can develop their aql through their hearts. In Islam, intellect, therefore, is not about the equivalence of what is residing in brains. Because Allah says that the equivalence of intellect is what is developed through the hearts. It's also indicative of that intimacy of personal nature of this development, this spiritual renewal and this birth. And so Allah Ta'ala says, in order that they may gain hearing with which they hear and sight with which they can see, hearing with which they hear, sight with which they can see, because sometimes you have ears but you can't hear. Sometimes you do have eyes but you don't see. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ. Because it's not vision that goes blind. وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. It's the hearts that's in the bosoms that go blind. It's the veils that we become hijabed with. Therefore, in Hajj, there's also the bab of hajab, that something en route may happen that prevents you from arriving at your destination. And so similarly, these veils with which our hearts and our minds and our eyes and our ears are veiled with prevents us from that spiritual arrival. We cannot arrive. It's impossible. And so therefore, brothers and sisters in Islam, when the Prophet ﷺ used the words Al-Hajju Arafah, the word Arafah in the first instance is a reference to that place Arafah and a reference to that time on that place Arafah, on that specific day. And so when some of the tribes of the Najd people came there, late arrival on Arafah, it was already past the sunset time. They said, Ya Rasulullah, do we actually get Hajj? And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructed a caller, a munadi, to proclaim Al-Hajju Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. So as long as you were here on Arafah And this was, even though it was after the time of sunset, that is still the time of Arafah, people who are late. And so if they were on Arafah before sunrise the following day, they would have, of course, been granted Hajj. The word Arafah has got to do with knowing, understanding. Arafah is to know. Ma'rifah is knowledge. They say the place Arafah got its name from when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed our mother and our fathers, in Adam and Sayyidina Hawa, to reunite, and they actually recognized one another now on their earthly existence after they have been ejected from Jannah. In their earthly existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to meet, and they then recognize one another on Arafah. Some say Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was taught the manasik, the Hajj, by Jibreel, took him on this journey of Hajj. And when he was taught the manasik, Jibreel asked him, "A'arafta? Have you now understood?" And he would say, "A'araft. I have understood. I have known now." It is also said that because of humans and this big, massive congregation of people who then congregate on Arafah and them learning to know one, ta'arafu, like you would have in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the first ever such a massive gathering of none less than 150,000 souls on Hajj with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They all got to know one another, and we all get to know one another. You can try and envisage and imagine how it must have been for them when they were standing there as such a massive group in the history of Islam, listening to the farewell sermon of the Nabi Muhammad. And how even at that time, all this interconnectedness of fellow human beings, fellow believers, was part of that experience. At the same time, trying to bring about that spiritual renewal, which is very, very, very personal. And so, unless we are able to bring through the self-knowledge, the self-discovery, that's what journeying is all about. Journey is about self-discovery. Unless we can bring through this objective of understanding, then we are in fact screened. We have been deprived from that arrival, mahjub, as we learn in these babs and abwab of fiqh. And so we then begin to truly acknowledge and recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence, Allah ta'ala's, our presence in Allah ta'ala's mercy, because also we understand that we cannot gain Allah's salvation and Allah ta'ala's Jannah except through Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Allah says, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "La yadkhul ahadukum al-jannah." Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah Ta'ala says that none of you shall enter Jannah except through my mercy, except through the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And so, brothers and sisters in Islam, our families are there, our friends are there. We can't all be there. It is of the hikmah of Allah's wisdom that Hajj is only farḍ once in a lifetime. We are 1.7 billion Muslims on this earth today. They could probably give to people who come through the borders about 1.7 visas for Hajj. 1.7 million visas. They can't give more than that. The other people are the ones who are inside the country, etc., etc. And so, because those are the statistics actually. And so that is not even a tenth, it's not even a hundredth, it's a thousandth percentage of the entire ummah. But when we're talking about us being here at home, Al-Hajj Arafah is about also rekindling the spirit of Arafah within ourselves. Because we don't only have to be on Arafah in order to spiritually renew ourselves. We can spiritually renew ourselves through all sorts of things which Allah Ta'ala gifts us. Allah Ta'ala, for example, requires of us to consider fasting on the day of Arafah. We're not there. Not only that, Allah Ta'ala asks us to consider to engage in intensive ibadah in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, which is in 2 weeks' time. And that there is no other ibadah that you can ever perform that is more loved by Allah than that which you do in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. It's a season for spiritual rebirth and renewal. Something that we even overlook and think that, what is the wisdom of this? Like a person that may have the niyyah to actually slaughter on the day of Eid al-Adha, sunnah in there is that from the time that the first day of Dhul-Hijjah sets in, that we should refrain from cutting our nails and cutting our hair. Now, that really puts paid to Tilako's visit Nari Baba too, but Jimurid ma moi time. But the point is, it may look trivial, but it's about putting us in a frame of mind to remind us about these great days, to remind us about this ample, fertile, abundant opportunity for spiritual rebirth and spiritual renewal. It's all of it together. And so, brothers and sisters in Islam, all of it is to combat the remembrance of Allah, is to combat the ghafla, to combat the mindlessness and the heedlessness. And if we're talking about our own experiences today, the most critical way in which we bring again to the fore the manifestation of that community nature of human beings, that we're all part of the social unit, we must become so concerned. We must become so desperate. We must almost become so despaired of the extent of the decadence in our society, the crimes that are being committed in our society, the violent crimes that are being committed in our society, the killings and the murders and the maiming. The child and the children, the young child of 8 months old that can be raped. The single family within the last 2 weeks, a single family of 5 members that can be shot and gunned down inside their home. The social consciousness that the rekindling of the spirit of Arafah requires of us to be able to reflect into our own reality here, because we're not on the plains of Arafat, we are here. What does that drive us towards? Can we be indifferent about it? Can we be mindless about it? Can we be not caring about it? When Allah Ta'ala intends for the perfection of the development of human manifestation to be that unity and the brotherhood amongst them. And so, brothers and sisters in Islam, the least that we can do is to start with those intense du'as that we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring relief and Allah ta'ala bring for us solutions to these desperate times in which we are living, with lives and societies entirely broken, families are broken, and that is why society is broken. And to rekindle the spirit of that self-awareness of ours, that self-consciousness of how do we move forward. Faith leaders are meeting in this coming week in Bonteville at a summit to consider what can we do about this. Non-Muslim people, Muslim people, we should be at the forefront in that. Our hujjaj on that side, of course, also their role in all of this. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, our responsibility in the sight of Allah, coming close unto Allah for spiritual rebirth, as the Hajj demonstrates, is intimately and inextricably linked to our relationship with our fellow human beings. Allah Ta'ala has sent Malaika of Adab in a place when they transgressed the laws of Allah, and these Malaika found a very pious person there, worshipping Allah. And they said, "Ya Allah, what must we do about this man?" And Allah's response was, "Start with him. Start with him." And so may Allah Ta'ala guide our hearts as a community, as human beings. Allah guide our hearts as leaders, the representatives of Allah, Khalifatullah fil ard. That inshallah we also fulfill our role spiritually as well as socially within these very, very trying and difficult times in which we face. May Allah guide us all. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.